Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
Edward, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm fine. You just got called out on our Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback. Not called out, but pointed out, I guess. Randy and Cabot said you picked Ole Miss over Texas. You feel pretty good about that?
I do. And I actually talked to Chris about this earlier. He's feeling really confident in Texas, rebounding this weekend. But I just have to think there's too much drama right now in Austin. New defensive coordinator. This team hasn't been able to catch a cold when it comes to stopping the run. Ole Miss can run the ball. That read, Bo Wallace is running the read option like a PlayStation quarterback. So I'm confident. Ole Miss goes into Austin, makes the Alabama game next week even bigger.
Do they do they fire the new defensive coordinator if they lose this week?
You know, I run a pretty good PlayStation defense.
I believe this.
So
maybe they'll call you.
Someone gives me a phone call, you know. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm willing to – I couldn't be any worse.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Although maybe BYU is going to be like a national championship contender. We just didn't know it.
No.
The new Marshall from a few years ago.
Yeah, maybe. Not, probably. Another game, it's not nearly to the level that we're going to talk about in a second, but Mississippi State and Auburn's an intriguing game in the same way that the Vanderbilt game was out of the gate this year with Ole Miss. So what are your thoughts on that one? Auburn hosting Mississippi State, a team that has been just the opposite of Texas. Pretty good on defense, not very good on offense, and that's probably an understatement.
Yeah, and I think that the key to this one is going to be the running game for both teams. I mean, Auburn has done a really good job of running the ball. I mean, yeah, look at the opponents. They're averaging, you know, well over 200 yards rushing a game, pretty close to 300. And I really like Trey Mason. I like what they can do. Court Grant's doing a good job. And this is a team that I think that people need to keep an eye on when it comes to that offense. It's just going to keep getting better if guys stay healthy. Nick Marshall, yeah, he still needs a little time there in the offense, kind of develop more as a quarterback. But I do think that this is a team that can kind of make a jump this year if everybody kind of obviously stays healthy and stays focused. Now, for Mississippi State, still a lot of questions. Their defense played well the first 2 weeks. I was really surprised at how well that defense played against Oklahoma State when you consider the passing game that was coming in. And then obviously last week against Alcorn, you can kind of throw it out. But it is a confidence builder. It's one of those games, if you're coming off a tough loss like that, you get a win, it's going to help you. And I think that, you know, Dan Mullen has said it every year. This is a game that can make or break your year. It really can. And you know, Mississippi State went on to win 7 in a row to start the season after beating Auburn. Auburn had an awful year last year. And this game just kind of sets the tone. And I really think it sets the tone more for Mississippi State. Auburn's breaking in a new coach, a relatively new system. You know, obviously, they used it a couple of years ago. But you still don't really know, you know, what Auburn can do this season. And I think for Mississippi State, this is a must-win. If they lose this, I think it's going to be tough for them to win a bowl game just because of the schedule coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wonder about the psyche of these players. This isn't going to be easy. I mean, when you're 2-0 and you're riding a guy who's really popular in the Auburn in the Auburn fan community, it's going to be an exciting game. I think that they're going to be fired up for this one. They know how big this game is for the rest of the year. So I give Auburn the advantage because it's at home. They've run the ball really well. I think they're really going to test that Mississippi State front seven.
So it's a must-win for Mississippi State, but you're picking Auburn.
Yes.
Okay.
I think Auburn's the more talented team. I know that they haven't shown it maybe in the last couple of years, but I still think this is the more talented team, and they're at home.
Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com's SEC blogger, joining us on the Revolution Hotline. I'm going to play a clip from Nick Saban, then we'll talk to you about the game coming up, because I don't want Coach getting mad at me. We're going to talk about the game first, and then we'll talk about some of the other crap.
You know, I think the guy's a great competitor, and regardless of any other circumstance that goes on around him, when he's playing on the field, He's doing everything he can to help his team win and trying to make every choice and decision to do it. And he is a fierce competitor.
That is Nick Saban talking about me, but the same could be said for Johnny Manziel as well, the quarterback they'll be facing on the gridiron this week. What are your thoughts going into this one? Then we'll get into some of the nonsensical allegations that may or may not turn out to be true.
Well, I think that, first and foremost, Alabama's offense is going to be better than what it was in week one. New offensive line, basically, you know, three new starters out there, communication issues, Nick Saban, and those guys even said that there were trust issues. When it's totally different from when you're practicing and you're used to everything that's going on, then you get out on the field and you're playing a team that really threw a lot of different stuff at Alabama. So kudos to Virginia Tech's defense. They really played a more physical game up front. They brought more pressure. They had some exotic blitz packages that Alabama wasn't used to and didn't really expect. But they still won the game by 25 points. That just tells you how good they are in every other area. I think this is going to be a good test for that defense, especially that front seven, because you have to contain Johnny Manziel, who I think is throwing the ball a lot better than he was last year. It's two games against two cupcakes, yes, but it's totally different when you're watching him going through his progression, checking down, not looking to run first. He's barely run the ball the first 2 weeks. These are the games where, you know, he's used to running for 1,000 yards in each of them. He's sat back there and he's thrown the ball, and I think that's big because, you know, what does Alabama say? Okay, can we sit back and just make sure that he can't throw? Well, if you do that, he's going to take off. So this is going to be interesting. I don't bet against Kirby Smart or Nick Saban when they lose to a team and they come back and play him. And I think if you look at the second half, you know, Johnny Manziel beat him on one good drive there. But after that, I mean, they really did a good job of adjusting. Kind of reminded me of what Florida and LSU did.
Yeah.
They were just behind so much early. So I think that I have Alabama winning this. And I kind of think that they could win by 10 or more just because I don't like that Texas A&M defense right now. I know they're getting guys back, but I think Alabama's going to run the ball really well, and I think that A.J. McCarron, who is tired of hitting about his offensive line, is going to make some plays through the air. So I have Alabama in this one. I just think that Texas A&M is going to take a couple steps back this year.
The couple things that I'm curious about with Manziel is he's clearly wanting to be a pocket passer to improve his stock to move to the next level. He worked with his quarterback guru in the offseason. But will he go back to what is comfortable and probably more effective against a team like Alabama and pull it down more regularly than he did in the first 2 weeks when, like you said, he didn't have to? The other thing is, if they get in a pinch, I'm not 100% comfortable, and certainly I'm on the outside looking in. I'm not 100% comfortable that they're going to work through adversity real well between him and Kevin Sumlin. I think that's where they miss Kingsbury. When they get in a pressure situation, that's a guy he leans on. There's clearly, you know, I think he respects him, but it's just not quite the same. I think that's the kind of time without Kingsbury that it's going to come back to bite him. So that's the only thing I really worry about. I'm not sold on Alabama either. I'm not sure that they're going to run the ball effectively against a good team. But like you said, I mean, hey, maybe enough this week against A&M's defensive front.
Yeah, and Nick Saban and his team have been looking at this game for a very, very long time. They know exactly what happened to him last year. And I also don't think Alabama's under a lot of pressure. This is a bigger game for Texas A&M because if they lose this, I think their schedule's tougher. And as for Alabama, if they lose this game, the toughest game remaining really is LSU. But, you know, Texas A&M, I mean, the Ole Miss game, I think, is going to be an interesting one, especially if Bo Wallace keeps running the read option as well as he has, and if that defense improves. But, you know, Texas A&M still has to play a pretty tough schedule going down the stretch. Ole Miss and LSU are both home games for Alabama. That's not the case for Texas A&M. So it's going to be an interesting game for him. I think the pressure's on Johnny Manziel. If he doesn't perform, everybody's going to be talking about, you know, was he his focus coming into this, considering what happened during the offseason. What he did in the first 2 weeks, outside of obviously the taunts and everything, it's going to be washed away. As well as he's looked as a passer, no one's going to talk about that if they lose this game. And it'll be interesting, you know, what he's like out on the field, what his composure is. For Alabama, I mean, you lose this, you still have a really good shot if you keep improving. Now, if they don't look good in this game and they lose, maybe it's a different story. As far as the national championship is concerned, but I think the pressure is solely on Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M right now.
Yeah, but you don't play Florida, you don't play Georgia out of the East. So, I mean, they do have some, you know, help going on. They're going to be favored in every, I'm talking about A&M. They're going to be favored in every game they play except for at LSU. So, yeah, they may have a tougher schedule than Alabama, and I'm going to have to pull theirs up to look at this. But they don't have the hardest road. I mean, look, we all know that they're going to have trouble at Arkansas. I mean, we can all assume that. But they're going to be favored. I mean, they'll be favored in that game and all the other games they play, except when they go to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and I think that the interesting thing about Texas A&M is, what is this team like if they do win this game, if they do lose this game? Because of Johnny Manziel and the attention that he brings, I could see him, you know, being pretty arrogant and pretty jazzed up about winning this. And that's not taking a shot at him. I like his bravado. I like his brash persona. But at the same time, you don't want to get too big off of this win. It's too early in the season for that to happen. And if they lose, you can't get too low.
Yeah.
I do think that playing those two games on the road is certainly an advantage for Alabama. They don't have to worry about that. Texas A&M does. But, you know, maybe that Missouri team is better down the stretch. You have to play Vanderbilt. I think that's a team that could give a lot of teams trouble this year. Mm. Maybe Vanderbilt can even pull an upset over one of the top teams in the East. So I still think that with the schedule that the Texas A&M has, because they have those tough road games, I mean, Arkansas, if they're running the ball like they are now at that point in the season, you know, that could be a tough one for that front seven. So I think that this is way more of a must-win for Texas A&M if they want to win the West, they want to compete for a national championship, than it is for Alabama.
This Alabama schedule doesn't even look like a real schedule. I mean, they're playing Colorado State at home next week. They play Ole Miss at home. They get Georgia State at home. They go to Kentucky, to Mississippi State, and to Auburn. Those are their road games in the SEC. And then this week. I mean, if they get through this week, it is a cakewalk. They do have Tennessee, Arkansas, and LSU all in three straight games, but they do have the bye week between Tennessee and LSU. And those are all home games. I mean, this could not be set up better. That doesn't mean you're going to win all your games. But dang, Nick Saban, how many more advantages do you need, bro?
Jeez. Watch out for Chattanooga.
That's Chattanooga.
Chattanooga.
Look, they could literally drive the Chattanooga choo-choo in there and not win the game. Are you buying tickets to the game, or you have credentials for this week? Because they're going at $763 a piece on the secondary market, I'm told.
That is sick.
You know, if I wasn't willing to spend $500 on one ticket to a World Cup game for the greatest sporting event ever.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh, Mr. Christina. Edward Ashcroft. I was just pointing out to Mr. Acree that people around the world besides him do care about soccer.
I didn't say people didn't care about it.
You said the whole United States did not care about soccer.
No, I did not. I said it's not the most popular sport in the United States. Don't misquote me.
Really?
Tommy Smith.
Are you positive you said that, or did you say that no one cares about soccer here?
No, of course
here?
People care about it here, you knucklehead.
In general,
OMG,
they don't.
OMG, that is not what he said. Turn on our intern's
Nobody
microphone.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Again,
thank
you are focused
Edward.
On the wrong things. Can we move on?
We like football, not football.
Do you have a credential, and are you willing to sell it? That's my question.
Anytime I can start a soccer fight on the air, I'm happy.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
I'll just roll a grenade in the studio while you're at it.
No,
anyway.
I'll actually be at home watching all the games. I have home duty for back-to-back week, being able to cover everything.
Your dog will be happy.
I won't be in College Station, and I don't think Alabama wants me there. I was bad luck. From last season, when I was standing in the end zone when Shazer Everett got that interception. So I don't think Nick Saban wants me close to his program right now.
Well, Nick Saban doesn't have that kind of swing. Apparently Steve Spurrier does, though.
Mm.
There was a story going around that he shut down a columnist that from the newspaper that covers South Carolina, and he got one of his buddies, who is a little friendlier, in there to cover them. This is very disconcerting to me. This is one more thing in a long line of basically cutting the, I don't know how to say this exactly, making the media impotent in some ways, okay? Basically, they're getting what they want. Other places have closed practices. They are limiting the access. And I don't care that much because it's not my job to break stories. It's not really even my job to cover the team closely. It's mostly to provide a forum for people to complain or cheer about what happened. But it does concern me for guys like you that this kind of thing is going on, and this is not the first time something like this has happened.
Yeah, it's such a strange situation, and I understand what happened last year, and I'm certainly not backing Steve Spurrier, but I understand why he was so upset. When you can say a lot of things about Spurrier and his coaching and everything like that, but when you bring in, if there's ever any alleged cheating or saying that Spurrier isn't taking care of his players, he'll go off. I mean, that's just who he is, how he is. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. You can't out-muscle the media. It just doesn't look good. It's, and I haven't really read a lot of what Ron Morris has written this year. I know he's done a lot of Clemson stuff, so maybe.
Yeah, that's because he's been told not to write about South Carolina. That's the reason that happened. Mm-hmm. Now, he did write some things that were probably a little over the top. I think there was one comparison to Penn State in the South. I think that what he said was this is how things at Penn State happen, or things like Penn State happen. So
he said that on the radio.
Yeah, he may have overstepped it a little bit, but the bottom line is I don't like this. And look, part of this goes to the paper. And, Nate, you're an old, you know, you're a journalist. I mean, you're a guy that
sure.
worked in newspaper. I mean, it's works in newspaper. It's to me, that's what's disconcerting is I would rather have seen the paper come up and go, look, you know, you can't dictate to us who the guy is.
They're not taking care of him.
Yeah,
they're not backing him at all.
Right, and if I'm him, I mean, I don't have a lot of pride, but I have enough to go, well, wait a minute. If I can't write about what I want to write about as a columnist, may not be here too much longer.
I mean, he said that.
And Spurrier even said you can't put it on him. I mean, he said he's complained about him as much as he can, but it's not his fault that, you know, he was, I guess you could say, demoted.
Yeah.
Said, no, you can't write about the Gamecocks anymore. But it is such a weird situation, and you have to wonder what other people on that beat are saying. You know, can I write this? Can I not write this? Am I going to, you know, possibly face moving down and having to cover something else?
Yeah.
And that's not good. Well, never be who you're covering.
At least this year, Clemson's a promotion, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's still the ACC. Big Bad Maryland and NC State are still on the schedule, and we know how big teams in the ACC perform in games like that. So
all I know is you guys better watch yourselves at ESPN, because the story I'm reading about DJ Fluker and these others named in this report is off of ESPN.com news services. So you don't want to irritate Nick Saban, because if you think Spurrier will cut you off, what do you think old Nick's going to do? So what? How much stock are you putting in these allegations? So this happens all the time.
I mean, we'd have to be naive to think that it doesn't happen anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, right now, it still is, you know, there's nothing but allegations. Alabama's looking into it. Tennessee, Mississippi State, they're all looking into what's going on right now. As far as it concerning this team, I don't think it does. I mean, Ed Stinson was the only guy on the current roster who was mentioned, and the report even said that he wasn't directly involved. So I don't think it's going to affect anybody on that staff right now, any of those players right now. You just have to wonder about down the road, does it affect those championships if anything comes to light? And again, I mean, the NCAA has to do its own individual investigation, and it can't read into what Yahoo's reported or what anyone else has reported. As we've seen in the past, I mean, there have been many, many stories about, you know, huge allegations, and nothing has come of it. So if Alabama has said that, you know, it's working with compliance, talk to DJ Fluker, they're trying to figure out, I mean, Luther Davis has been banned from talking to players, being around the program. So we'll see what happens. I don't think that it's a big deal to this team now, but I can only imagine if something does happen in Alabama, you know, if eligibility issues arise, and it affects those two national championships, it's going to be a huge story there in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see a lot of unhappy people. But,
you sound like a guy that's been gotten to. a lot of times there's not much to these types of things. I'm sorry, I got Nick Saban on the air line. I'm going to have to let you guys go. Don't do it, Edward. You keep your credibility, man. Don't let Nick Saban get to you.
I'm not letting anybody get to me, but at the same time, we've seen this happen with many other programs, and you just have to wonder, is this what the NCAA is going to do? I mean, I read Dan Wetzel's column, and he doesn't think much is going to happen either out of this. So
you just
have to wonder if the NCAA is really going to try and get involved. Johnny Manziel, Cam Newton, Miami, Oklahoma State, if they decide to pry into that, I don't know. I'm cynical when it comes to all that.
Yeah. Okay, so you like Alabama to win and win maybe big?
I think it could happen. I don't see Alabama looking like they did last 2 weeks ago.
Edward can say almost anything now, and since he sucked up to soccer, of course you're with him.
I've been saying that since I got here. You obviously didn't listen to the morning show.
No, as soon as you said the S word, I just quit listening to you.
Clearly.
Most popular sport in the world.
Thank you, Edward. Justin has no idea. He's the host of a radio show for the past 20 years, but he didn't know that.
Where would you rank it on popularity in the United States of America where we live? I mean, it's number one in Syria, no doubt. Soccer is number one in Syria. It's not number one in the United States. It's not number two in the United States. I'm not sure it's in top six.
You don't think it's in the top five?
No.
Baloney.
I think it's ahead of the NHL.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
hell
it is.
Yes, it is.
Way ahead of hockey. Good point. Thank you, Edward. You just blew it with Christina. She was going to be friends with you. Now it's over.
No, that's not true. Do you think it's ahead of Major League Baseball?
No. Not in the United States.
No way.
No
chance.
I don't think it is, but at a youth level.
Yeah, maybe so.
Well,
growing more, and that's the only big. And
Edward, you know, we're friends.
If you look at what's happening with the NFL, if player safety starts becoming a bigger issue.
They talked about that this morning. I would not want my child to play football.
Yeah.
Hey,
but it doesn't matter. They can go to two-hand touch in the NFL, and it's still going to be more violent than soccer.
Imagine if the U.S. makes a run in the World Cup next summer. Just saying. I think a lot of people are excited about this team. Twitter was ablaze after we beat Mexico.
Yeah, that's true. No, look, I love the World Cup. The World Cup's great. I agree with you on that. But that's the only thing I pay attention to.
Change your tune.
No, I love the World Cup. I paid close attention to it. We talked about it every day when it was going on. Absolutely.
Really?
But that's the only time.
You in on it, probably. Go ahead.
We didn't have interns then.
He's coming over to the side. He's coming over.
No, I like the World Cup. I got talked into it.
I've never watched a soccer game in my life. I'm just letting you know that people
care. Oh, I can't
care.
Say that. No, I've watched many soccer matches.
I have not watched enough.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm very comfortable on the pitch.
Pitch?
Edward, we'll let you go. I know you got to get ready for work this weekend. We appreciate you. We'll visit next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Take care. Ethan makes a great point. Eating horse in other parts of the world is popular, too. It doesn't make it right.
That's a good point.
It is.
Really?
Much like my Syria point.
Exactly. Both
let's,
are horrible.
Let's find something we can all agree on.
Yes.
We want to find out what's going on in sync from Nate when we come back.
Okay.
I'd love that.
And we all know that the Arkansas Razorbacks official truck is Ford. An F-150, in fact. And you can get it at Landers Ford in Benton. I'm so glad you asked. Over 500 used cars to choose from as well. So if you are looking...